Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Xi Jinping, the forever General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, leaving China in these very dynamic moments of protest against the COVID zero policy that is Xi Jinping, and protest against the collapsing economy that is Xi Jinping, leaving the country and traveling to Saudi Arabia. I read from the report most recently. ABC News. Chinese leader Xi Jinping is attending a pair of regional summits in Saudi Arabia amid efforts to kickstart economic growth weighed down by strict anti-COVID-19 measures and other bad decisions, I add. The foreign ministry said that General Secretary Xi will attend the inaugural China Arab States Summit and a meeting with leaders of the six nations that make up the Gulf Cooperation Council in the Saudi capital of Riyadh. This is a state visit. That means toasting. That means wear your best clothes. That means lots of ceremony that speak to the future. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very pleased to be joined by our colleague, Steve Yates. Steve is the director, the boss of the First Policy Institute's New China Policy Initiative. Steve, a very good evening to you. First, the superstitious question. Xi Jinping is leaving the country following questions about his leadership. Following the turmoil in the streets, is this a measure of confidence or he couldn't change his calendar? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I take it as a measure that Xi Jinping and those around him assess that they have established sufficient control over where the demonstrations are going, such that he can step out of the country for several days in a row. It's something that looked very different just a week ago, but we'll see. What happens, whether there's any movement while he is outside of the country. But we've seen this uprising and then sort of the ebb of that uprising, which doesn't mean the end of the debate. It just means the end of the publicity for the moment, is my estimation.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, I agree with you that for the moment, things are quiet. But ultimately, I don't think that Xi Jinping has any answers to the zero COVID policy. The totalitarianism of that just has failed. And it would seem to me that his other totalitarian policies probably will also fail, though perhaps not in the next 3 or 4 days while he's in the Middle East. But it seems to me that ultimately Xi Jinping does have a problem because he is so closely identified with approaches that have not been working. So, yes, he can go to Saudi Arabia, but I'm not so sure he can make 3 or 4 trips down the road. What do you think is going on in Beijing circles when Xi Jinping is out of the country?
My strong suspicion is that there would be people who are looking at how to continue gradual loosening or migration away from some of these absolutist policies that are Xi Jinping's calling cards. I think it's absolutely correct that his reputation, his model of Mao 2.0, near total control, has failed China. And even reasonable people, such that they may exist within the Communist Party, have to see that they are very, very close to that losing mandate of heaven moment that has come up at different times in Chinese history, with the economic turmoil, social disorder, loss of faith and confidence that the leadership is moving the country in the right direction. These are all very perilous things for that leadership. And so when Xi is away, I have to believe that there are people in that leadership that want to protect party control separate from Xi's control.
A foreign ministry spokesperson, according to the report at ABC News, characterized the state visit by Xi Jinping this way. The two sides are looking to, quote, help build more strategic common understandings on major regional and international issues and defend multilateralism. I read that sentence and I'm not as smart as I was when I started. What are they talking about, Steve? What's the sensitivity here?
Well, there are a number of things going on between China and the Middle East, as well as Russia and the Middle East right now. With the China part, I went to the Middle East in May to engage leaders there about China's role in the region, also some of the realities inside China. There isn't as much discussion in the broader Middle East, especially among our Arab allies, about China's treatment of people of religious faith, and in particular, the Uyghurs. And so there's a little bit of that sensitive issue on both sides of that equation. There are allies of ours in the Arab world that have misgivings about some of the American policies on energy, environment, and some of the punitive measures against Russia. And there's a lot of rebuilding work that America needs to do to hold those countries on side. And China's economic realities, I don't know that our Arab partners in the broader Middle East have followed as closely some of the downturn and disruption that Xi's policies have put in motion. And so their desire to diversify their economies, to grow out of energy only, sees an unlimited opportunity in manufacturing and retail with China. I don't know that Xi can offer that under current circumstances. And so, I think the ultimate challenge for our Gulf and Arab allies is that China, together with Russia, have enabled their opponent in the broader Middle East more than anyone else in the world. And so the rise of the theocrats in Iran and the protection of them against sanctions is largely due to Chinese and Russian economic and other engagement. So there's a lot of sensitive and strategic issues for these powers to deal with. I doubt that they will resolve any of them with this visit.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
My sense, Steve, is that countries in the region, especially the Gulf Cooperation Council countries, are extremely concerned about Biden's tilt towards Iran. And many of those GCC countries, as well as Saudi Arabia, consider themselves to be the targets of Iranian terrorism and other bad acts. My guess is that Xi Jinping wouldn't be making this trip, or he would not be making inroads if the Biden administration had continued Trump policies. My sense is that Trump policies on the Middle East were perhaps the best of any American president since Roosevelt. And I get a sense also that Biden's Middle East policies are heading towards like the worst. So this is a perfect storm for the United States. And unless Biden does something quickly, we could lose those traditional relationships that we've held since the 1930s.
I wish I had optimism that your assessment was wrong. I think the trend lines are back moving in that direction, and it undercuts the viability and reliability of American promises of alliances. When the region has countries that alone are not powerful enough to stand up against a belligerent neighbor, but they combine forces together with the United States to lead it in a different direction. And then because of political cycles in the United States, the U.S. moves in a dramatically different direction. It exposes them to risk, and they don't feel like they can make long-term bets on American credibility, and they have to make deals with lesser actors for their own national interests. We can be disappointed, but we can't blame them for that. It very much is the failure of American politics to take a back seat to American national interests abroad.
She's leaving the country within hours, or has left it already, for several days in Saudi Arabia. Back home, the COVID zero policies are now said to be either suspended or prohibited going forward. It's very much in flux, and it does look like there are concessions being made to the spontaneous protests of these last days. What does this mean for Taiwan, Steve? Because Xi Jinping has been adamant at the Party Congress and in his many remarks about Taiwan when he appears in military suits that Taiwan will be conquered. But we now have a model of Xi Jinping backing down. How does this play in Taipei?
Well, in Taipei, they're going to be watching very, very closely how these adjustments are actually made. They're very accustomed from decades of experience not to look at binary policy implementation from China. So they don't see COVID zero switching to complete reversal and opening of the economy in China and access of their people. They're going to try to see how is it modulated and is the discontent that has disrupted manufacturing platforms going to continue? And is the out-migration of some of those investments going to continue? The most high profile of those is the Foxconn and the chip manufacturers that are looking to diversify out of China in some way. That has a major impact on how Taiwan looks at things. And so if they don't see some settling down of the manufacturing platforms and the lifestyle of workers in China, then it will have a significant economic impact on Taiwan. It'll have a political impact on Taiwan, and they'll have to much more strategically decouple from China.
One more detail then, the hawks in Taiwan, do they turn to each other and say, he's soft?
No, I think that they, number one, the hawks in Taiwan are not organized. I wish that I could say otherwise. They do see that Xi Jinping is not as strong as was assessed even just a few months ago. But I don't know that they have a clear path of what to do with that just yet. And they need to get their own house in order with regard to hardening Taiwan and improving their ties with Japan and the United States.
Steve Yates is chair of the America First Policy Institute's New Policy and New China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.